The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, you know what time it is. It is time for the greatest radio show that you've heard all week. This is the True Wealth Radio Show on this the greatest Tuesday you've had all week. And I'm your host, Dave Littlejohn. Joining me in the studio today is...
Matt Dixon.
Okay, we made that intro up on the fly. Why?
Because how did we do?
We're doing all of the other tech stuff, and we're always at the 11th hour.
Yeah.
You would think we'd be better at this, but we're not. We kind of set the studio up again and again and again. I mean, the studio is pretty normal, but the cameras and stuff, because yes, you can see the live stream. If you want to go to YouTube, you can check us out. And be happy to... have you join us, right? So, hello world on YouTube. Today, have we got a show for you. We're going to get ourselves in trouble.
Is it the best show that we'll have done all September?
This is probably the greatest show ever in the history of all YouTube or radio ever, forever.
Mm.
That can't be true, can it?
I think it can. Why
you know,
not?
To somebody,
if you say it enough
maybe,
times.
Right, just pretend it, like just act like it's true.
Yep.
All right, we're going to start with some disclosure, okay? Let me just air... this is all going to make sense in a second. I'm going to disclose some things to everybody on the air.
Are you going to disclose your true eye color?
I don't even know how to describe
your true height. What are we disclosing?
We're going to disclose, first of all, both Matthew and I are professional financial advisors.
Hmm.
Okay. So what that means is we get paid to do this.
Okay.
Okay. But on the radio, we have to disclose. So this is an advertisement, technically. Like this show, we pay to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so because it's classified as an advertisement. And then people go, okay, so what are you selling me? So, well, isn't that going to be relevant, right? Because we're going to talk about that. But why are we putting this out there? Because you want to know who you're dealing with, and you want to understand, like, okay, am I being sold something? What's the agenda of the other party? Okay, if you go to a car dealership, you know that they have cars. And the person talking to you is
really wants to sell
in selling
car.
You a car, right?
Yeah.
And so you kind of know that motivation is there. Okay, well, how does that work in the financial world? We're going to go through some of that today. We're going to do it from a little bit different angle. A bunch of you out there may already be working with a financial pro,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe not everybody, but stick with me. This is going to be fun. The topic of today's show is, what are the top 10 red flags that might cause me to want to fire my advisor?
It's a dangerous thing to throw around, right? Like, I feel like we're playing with fire.
Wait a minute. What are you saying here? So we're going to try to unpack this, and we're going to try to sit in the seat of being the customer, even though you know that that's not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's not our role. Now, on this show, we try to take the position that we're here to educate, we're here to entertain a little bit, and we're here to give you useful information that will help you on your journey of learning more and then also applying this in real life. And we talk about this. The idea is whether you do it yourself or you have somebody else help you, even if it's not us, find somebody that you like and trust and do the things so that you can become financially independent, right? We don't want to rely on the government. We don't want to rely on luck. We want to make good financial decisions.
Well, a lot of people want to rely on the government, but that's not the...
not our listeners.
No.
We have the best listeners, and then everybody else that doesn't listen to this show is yet to become the best.
Okay.
You guys, we're glad you're here. So, Matt,
yeah,
what do you say we just kick the door down and start talking?
Let's do it.
If these are red flags. Now, here's the fun thing, right? Red flag. The opposite of this might be a green flag.
Sure.
Okay, so we can look at it both. So we'll try to look at both sides.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
what are some of the things that right out of the gate you would say, if your financial advisor does X, well, that's a bad sign?
How about I start with one that I've seen a lot over the years, right?
This is a
common one. You hear someone call you and they're like, hey, I want you to be my financial advisor, and you're talking with them. and you start prying a little bit, and you're like, well, you know, what went wrong with the last relationship? You often hear this, and it is, they didn't communicate well with me. And a lot of the time, it centers around a big one. They tried calling, or they wanted to get in touch with their advisor, and they either didn't get a call back, or, you know, they just kind of got swept under the rug or forgotten about, in their opinion, right? Okay. And they can't get access to their advisor because their advisor's always so busy. So there's just no ability to actually talk with someone. And they're like, well, I really want someone who just communicates with me.
I got to throw the flag on me personally for a second on this one. Right. And throwing the flag on this is, I feel the whole you get busy thing and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
I've always believed. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. I think this is very real, but I also think it's important that we kind of understand what kind of communication is expected. Part of communication is, what did we expect?
Yep.
And what did we get?
Sure. Okay?
So I want to break this down into two different types of communication. Let's call it proactive versus reactive.
Ooh, okay.
Okay? Matt and I did not discuss this in advance, by the way, but yeah. I think it's pretty intuitive what these two things
mean, right? You got the one advisor who, you know, maybe things are going great, and you just get a call from them randomly, and it's like, hey, I just wanted to let you know, looking at your accounts, things are going pretty good. Do you have any questions or concerns? That's a proactive response.
Right.
Versus reactive, the complete opposite, and it's like, you know, the things aren't good, and I got a message from you, right? Like, I know they're not good, and I'm responding to your email.
Yeah, and
the
and
only time I'm going to call you is if you call me.
That's the last part that I was really focusing on. Is the proactive advisor reaches out to you unsolicited. The reactive advisor responds to you after you solicit them.
Right.
Both are typical. Right? Even a proactive advisor, occasionally you needed something, and so you had to call them. Right? They can't read your mind.
Well, and some people, you know, they like to not be bothered. Right? And that's, I guess, kind of a curveball.
That's an interesting one as well, because I think the advisor relationship, we're going to get into this a little deeper here, requires clean and consistent communication, because how can you deliver for a customer if you don't know what their needs are?
Yeah, that's the big one.
Right? That's it. So you need to stay in reasonable touch. And reasonable is a subjective term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I think it's important. So the other idea about communication, I was throwing the flag on me, right? I get busy and I tend to work by appointment. So if somebody reaches out and they're hoping to just get me on the phone immediately, that's often pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also why there's a team. And there's other folks around me. And so maybe you can't reach me, but you can reach them. Maybe you get your question answered that way. Or somebody finds me and I get back to you.
Right.
Right. That's pretty typical as well. But this is so important to me that in our office, here's a fun one. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
How do you navigate the phone tree in our office?
For me personally? Or like,
yes.
Well, I know when clients call in, it's just like, hey, is Matt there? And you're going to probably get out of the gate, one of the
here's
people
the trick.
Answering.
You know
the phone
why he's like he doesn't know how to answer the question. You know why?
You just get someone.
No, we don't have a phone tree.
Oh, you're talking about like the actual.
There's no
like
push one to talk to this person or that. It's a person answers the phone, and we figure out if nobody answers the phone, it's because nobody can answer the phone.
Oh,
either they're not
I
there, or
saying.
Literally everybody.
We don't have
the
press three to talk to your advisor.
Right. There is no automated answering
people.
System. It's people. And, you know, if you're on hold, it's because a person placed you on hold to find the other person for you.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, we try to avoid holds unless you get placed on hold to get to the person. Otherwise, if they're not available, you don't get placed on hold. You say, hey, I'm going to have them call you back, right?
Right.
And so we set it up that way. But that's our just the way we ran our firm,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was like, hey, so nobody called to talk to a robot. They called to talk to a person. So that's just our philosophy. Not everybody shares it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. And I hope we can continue to work that way. Sometimes there's consultants somewhere that's like, yo, you got opportunity. You could have scale and this and that and the other. And I go, no, it's just this is how we do it.
Yeah.
All right, so good. Communication.
Did you have anything you wanted to add to that where it's like you've seen like one area where maybe people get frustrated in the communication path?
Well, I'm going to say layered into this is understanding and communication. I think this first one, implicit in what we said, is, well, are you being contacted? That's the first one. Is there actual contact? Mm-hmm. Is it a black hole? You call and nobody calls you back.
Right.
Okay, that's a problem. If you are expecting calls back. Now, I will say, you got to own the part where if you're hard to reach, mm-hmm. right, somebody calls you back and then you don't respond, and then you sort of conveniently forget, and they call you two or three times and they can't reach you, and then they sort of give up, and then you're like, you never call.
Yeah, that's a whole different ballgame.
I mean, like, you're hard to reach, too. Communication's a two-way street.
Yeah.
So there's that.
What about the financial advisor that ignores kind of like the objectives or maybe the goals of the client? Like, yeah, the client has something that they want done or something that they want to achieve, and then the financial advisor's like, well, how about this thing over here? And they just keep going back to it.
Yeah, it's a fun point. It's what I would call probably another flag. It's... A lot falls under the umbrella of communication, but this idea of, hey, I was trying to communicate something to you. Mm-hmm. We're trying to talk about the goals that I had, and I don't feel like you're hearing me.
Right.
Right? You're just kind of ignoring it, and you're pushing your own agenda on me.
I think you get this a lot maybe with some of the bigger firms out there. Maybe, you know, the ones that kind of have everything, I hate to use this term, but like kind of prepackaged, where it's like, how about this? Because it's the thing that they go to over and over and over again. The one size fits all. Like, I have a Happy Meal and French fries for you. And you're like, well, I want like a halibut filet. And they're like, how about a Big Mac and fries? And you're like, I wanted halibut. A Big Mac and fries. Oh!
Yeah. It's funny because I think you're more likely to just not even have an advisor in that case. You go to a big firm, you usually don't get advice.
Right.
Right. If you contact, this is not a trash the other team thing when I say this, right? Because we, for example, let's use Vanguard as an example. We sometimes use Vanguard in our practice, right? Like, we'll use some of their, index funds and so forth. I mean, those could be used as tools for us. So
sure.
I don't have a problem with Vanguard. But if you're calling Vanguard looking for financial advice, you're unlikely to get a lot of detail because largely their relationship is transactional as a money manager at a low price point. You never hired them for advice in the first place. So like,
yeah.
You wouldn't see the goals there. You'd get the Happy Meal because they're like, you came to the wrong place, right? You don't ask for a taco at McDonald's, right? That we don't do that.
Yep.
But if you're working with an advisor and they just sort of conveniently move along and, you know, you're saying, I want to do these things, and they just kind of brush you off. One of two things. One, you could be crazy. I have to acknowledge that's a real possibility, right? Some folks come in and they like, no, I want to do this thing. And they're like, well, you can't. It's against the rules, or it's this or it's that. And if you won't let that go because you just don't like the answer, that could be on you.
Sure.
But if the advisor is sort of ignoring you, or they kind of keep driving you back to some other solution that, and they're not hearing you, that's a problem.
Sure. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and so but that comes back to communication too. Be really clear. You know, ask them, hey, it seems like you're avoiding this specific thing that I'm asking about. Can you explain to me why we're doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of calls it to the front. And that's all. Those are good communication strategies too, right?
But yeah,
a good advisor should be doing that for you. They should be asking you, hey, help me understand because I'm a little fuzzy on this one. They should be seeking clarity.
So it's kind of the
on you.
Yeah, it's kind of the advisor that focuses more on, say, like a product than a plan, right?
Yeah, which is, here's the trick, probably less of an advisor.
Yeah, more of a salesperson.
Maybe, you're less of an advisor than you think when you start dealing with that. But the industry is all about calling everybody themselves advisor, planner, you know. So we gotta kind of figure out, well, what does that really mean? And figure out what's their motivation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's a good one.
You know, we need to adopt that. They're, you know, product, not a plan, as like a red flag. I like that.
Yeah, that is actually
that just
really good.
Came out off the cuff. That wasn't even in the notes.
Look
product,
at that.
Not a plan. I know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Talking about a plan, we better plan to take a break. I realize we're long in this segment, so let's do that. When we come back, we got more red flags. We're going to get through them, but let's take these important messages first. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where I am your host, Dave Littlejohn, joined in studio by
Matt Dixon.
And we are talking about, of all the fun things, red flags that may suggest it's time to move on if you're working with an advisor and you're seeing things like this, okay?
Yep.
We have covered a handful. If you want to get caught up, remember we got a podcast. You can check out the show. We'll have it posted tomorrow at littlejohnfs.com under the Knowledge Center, or you can get it from your favorite podcast vendors, Apple, Android, and so forth. I guess it's Google, not Android, but whatever. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, Matt, a couple things that we talked about. First, there should be clear communication.
Yep.
We talked about advisors need to be honing in on your goals rather than trying to sell you on
sure.
their solve.
Yep.
What are some other red flags?
All right, I got one for you.
Okay.
So what about the advisor that uses a bunch of fancy jargon and has this kind of presentation where they sound just really smart, right? And you can tell that they're purposely talking way above you so that you don't really understand what they're saying. And then you just try and get you to nod along, right? That's one of the things I try to not do with people.
One of my all-time pet peeves, by the way.
Yeah, like I try and make it to where you are understanding exactly what it is that I'm trying to show you.
Yeah.
So that then we can have a conversation that's kind of on the same level.
I call it baffling with BS.
Ooh, I like that.
Right.
I'm
so
writing that one down.
Baffles with BS. It's this idea of let me sound sophisticated with lots of like jargony terms. And my joke has always been that jargon is a way to get you to pay more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me just bury you in financial terms that you don't understand and try to get you to be embarrassed or intimidated such that you don't want to admit that you don't understand something, right?
Yeah.
I think it's a terrible thing to do. If you really know your craft well, you should be able to explain
plain
it
English.
In such a way that others
yeah.
can understand it, right? And so I love to say, like, I'll tell you the word, right? If I say, hey, something like, well, we want to arbitrage this thing, and you go, I don't know what kind of bird that is. Like, oh, let me explain arbitrage.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can borrow at one rate and invest at a higher rate, and you make the difference between the two. And your profit is the spread or the difference between the cheaper money that you're borrowing
mm-hmm.
and the more expensive interest that you're able to earn, right? So you could profit. Like, if I could borrow at 5% but invest and make 10, I clear 5%, right? That's an arbitrage.
Yeah.
That's an example of being able to take something that would sound kind of complicated, break it down into something so that the average person goes, yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely you want somebody that can speak to you in your language rather than requiring you to translate to theirs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then oftentimes piggybacking off of that, you know, they start talking with some of this fancy jargon, right? And then you go to ask them like a follow-up question, and what do? They dodge it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're trying to hide behind things.
The politician's answer.
Yeah.
Right? I asked you this question, and you answered a different question.
Right. And then they show you something complicated, and then you're like,
yeah.
Come on, man. I asked you a question. Just answer it.
Still baffling with BS, right?
Yep, yep. And then they say something like, oh, just trust me, you know.
Yeah, that is probably, it's not on our list, but that is pretty red flaggy to me. If
yeah.
somebody says, just trust me.
You're like, I don't know you.
Yeah, well, even if you do, the just trust me thing is, that's usually a joke comment. In my world, I go, oh, you just want to trust me. And I'm like, I'm kidding. I actually don't want you to just trust me. I want you to have confidence that we can do what we said we're going to do.
Right.
But I'm a firm believer. We'll explain everything till you're comfortable.
I think a lot better answer in that situation would be like, here's how it works, right? And
yeah.
then they start actually walking you through it.
Right.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting to say, though, that just because you some people don't want to know. Right. And it's weird if you say, for example, hire you. I don't want to think about those things. So, OK, you're allowed to do that. What you're not allowed to do is later on say, well, you told me everything was fine. And like, hey, I was trying to explain this and you didn't want to hear it.
Yeah. Right?
That's back to willfully not receiving communication is different. Like my main thing on this one is, don't engage in relationships where you feel like you have to constantly
defend.
Yeah,
almost.
Be in a defensive position or feel like I need an out, right? Okay, there. That's not built on the right kind of trust.
Nope.
If you're starting with this idea that I'm going to manage sort of my own liability by having a back door where I can blame shift to someone else.
Yeah.
Hold on. Like, yeah. That is not a healthy advisory relationship where you're looking out for each other's best interest. That is, well, and really the advisor is supposed to be looking out for your interest, right? But you shouldn't be setting the advisor up either. Like, gotchas are not the way to do business.
No. Nope.
So, okay.
I've got your favorite one up next. Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
This is your favorite. The person that brags about performance and they're like, hey, you know, well, you should come to me because I'm just going to crush it and I'm so much better than the next guy.
You know what? I hope I hope people do that. I want competitors to do that all the time.
Yeah, you're like, you know what? Go for it. Overpromise.
Yeah, if you're in like competition with me, I'm like, by all means. Here's the funny thing. I don't really view other advisors as competition.
No.
I view them as, look, they are different ways to do it. And if it's a good fit for you, okay.
Right.
They're like,
communication style is different. Investment philosophy is different. There's plenty of reasons to use another person, right?
There is such a need out there for good financial advice.
Yep.
And folks are, it's just going unmet. You know, when you look at the number of people that have saved nothing,
well,
and you go, is that because they can't or because they don't?
Well, and there, I feel like there's a lot of people in this industry that are retiring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's not a whole lot of new people, in my opinion, entering the field. And so it's harder and harder to find an advisor, especially one that, you know, isn't just kind of in a sales role.
Yeah. By the way, this lives on one of the red flags. I'm going to just throw it in here. It's on that second list we talked about, Matt.
Okay.
Number five on our second list. They're not really numbered very well, but
right.
It's the fee concept in this. A lot of people are really fee averse, and I understand. Right, you need to be aware of what you're paying. If you hire somebody to do a job, then you need to know like what's the value proposition that you're receiving. But it concerns me that there is a group of people out there, and I'm not saying this is you listening and those of you that have advisors. Some people want an advisor, but they want the advice to be free. And I say you can't have somebody not get compensated to give everything away. They can't make a living, right? And
yep.
So. Now, should it be fair and reasonable and within industry standards and all those things? Yeah, I mean, I think those need to be there. But I think you need to be careful about this idea that, well, let me try to game it somehow to pay as little as possible, because you want a relationship where it's beneficial for all parties.
Right. Right?
Now, and if the solution is, well, I want everything for free, it's like, well, would you go to a restaurant and expect the food to be free?
Mm-hmm.
Like you probably wouldn't. So you're having a meal delivered at that point, and somebody's preparing it. And somebody else is dealing with the dishes or whatever else. Like, okay, there's
someone's
some value.
Refilling your water glass every right. 5 minutes.
There is some value associated with it that you're paying for. Consider that when you engage with a financial professional. But I think it's important to note this: there seems to be fewer people entering the profession, and a lot of folks don't understand how thin the margins are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When you say, oh, well, your advisor charges 1%, it's like, look, if you have $10,000, then an advisor charges 1%. They make $100 in a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If they have to service you all year long and you're expecting them to call you every month and you're expecting them to send out all these mailers and maintain all the software and do all the things they do. And you're like, I just am cautioning you that you may have unrealistic expectations of what somebody can deliver for what you're paying them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's the issue here, is that you, because don't forget, there's all this liability management for insurance. There's all this documentation to comply with government regulations, right? There's a lot of things involved with delivering competent, sound, professional financial advice.
Yep.
And what you see is a lot of the smaller investors get left out a lot because it's not a profitable endeavor to advise. Problem, though, is if you only take clients with $1 million, what about the clients that don't have $1 million? What about the people that are trying to get $1 million? They go, well, who's helping them?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fair thing to ask, but it's also something that you need to keep in mind, is that if you see what you're asking for, is it aligned with reality?
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's just the marketplace. And so I know for our firm, we try to be very cost aware and we try to be available to as many people as possible. But it's actually pretty difficult to work with the startup investor, not because we don't care about them, but because it oftentimes costs more money than you can generate.
Sure.
So just a you know, I think a relevant thing here. That being said, don't get hosed either. Like advisors that charge really high fees and they're not really delivering anything, what are you paying for?
Well, and sometimes you've got the advisor that outsources the money management, then charges the high fee, and then you're getting, you know, you're charging
you're
for both. You're
paying for middleman, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like, wow, you just got double whammied.
And again, back to the whole transparency thing, when we talk about this as advisors, yeah, we're sitting there going, hey, we need to be fee aware. We run our business a certain way, right?
Sure.
We manage a lot of money internally rather than farming it out because we don't like the idea of paying fees upon fees upon fees, but we still charge a fee to our customers.
Yep.
Right? So we're not doing it for free. But anyway, you gotta be kidding me. It's literally already time for another break.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it is. We ran long on the first segment. Now we better take this to get back in alignment. So, all right, we'll do that. We'll take a break. I'm blown away. We got to get through red flags faster.
Okay.
Probably a little more streamlined. So hang with us. If you want a whole bunch in the second half of the hour, they're coming. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang. Welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with
Matt Dixon.
We are covering a ton of red flags to watch out for. Should I fire my advisor? Well, let's
maybe
go through this. And remember, you can grab the podcast, go to littlejohnfs.com under the Knowledge Center, and we'll have this posted tomorrow if you're wanting to know all the different red flags. And I'll give you some hints. We'll probably even be like potentially some blog post style follow-ups where you got some of these listed for you. Matt, what are some more red flags?
What about the advisor that's trying to sell you this thing that they get a fat commission on? Or, yeah, like, that's a big one, right?
Is it even an advisor is the thing? Like, is that actually an advisor the way
that we define it? Yeah. An advisor should be, you know, giving you advice, and then your interests should be aligned, right?
So, like that. Here's the thing. There is a difference between a broker and an advisor. A lot of people don't.
Please talk about this because this is actually from my seat, this is my biggest pet peeve.
Yeah. This is
biggest, like number one. Like if there's one thing that irks me more than anything.
The industry has really changed over the past 25 years. Okay. 25 years ago, you still had a fair number of stockbrokers and investment brokers.
Right.
The broker is a person that is the transaction affiliate, right? If you want to buy something, they help you buy it and they receive a compensation for doing so. That's a commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mutual funds would pay commissions, stock trades would pay commissions. So all those different things were commissionable transactions. And the broker was not responsible for getting you the best thing, but they were responsible for getting you something that was considered suitable. It needed to meet the suitability standards, okay? It was a different set of rules than an advisor. And an advisor typically functions as a fiduciary, okay? Keep in mind, the term planner is different than advisor. A lot of people hold themselves out as planners, but that is sort of an ambiguous term, right? But an advisor, from a legal perspective, is typically associated with fiduciary advice, meaning you have to put the customer's best interest first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so if the customer's interest is first, you're not looking for something that's just suitable. You're looking for the best thing for them. Okay, the problem with suitability is two products that otherwise look similar, one of them pays a higher commission than the other. The broker could select the more commissionable product and it would still be considered appropriate from a legal perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the case for an advisor. And in fact, in most cases, advisors don't even accept commissions anymore.
Well, and on the coattails of that, the brokerage firm could also have like some fund that they get a kickback from.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, yeah, I'm going to invest your money and maybe I don't get, you know, an upfront commission from you, but on the back end, they're going to love me for selling this product, so they'll give me a commission on the back end. And it's like, ooh.
Or maybe it's not to the broker themselves, but it might go to the firm. There's something called a shelf space arrangement, where it's part of the expenses that the mutual fund was charging are refunded to the firm that is bringing in business, right? So those are all things. And, and a lot of these are starting to sunset. We don't see them as much as we used to.
But it's actually still pretty common.
It's still pretty common.
So can you... I don't think we did a good job talking about the flip side of that, right? Like, so you got the brokerage side, and then you've got the RIA, the registered investment advisor side. Do you want to talk a little bit about the difference between the two, and then what you might expect from the other side of the investment world?
Yeah, well, the advisory side, and again, this is our side, so we should like it, right?
Yeah, we should.
You've got advisors up here saying, this is why we chose the way we did it, right? So you're getting a little bit of...
we're biased.
We're biased.
But for this reason, go for it.
For this reason, because... We try to sit more on the same side of the table as the client. It's not purely there because we are getting some compensation for this, right? So we want the client to kind of follow along in the path we're suggesting. That's how we get paid. But we're not paid for transactions, right? We don't make a commission for buying or selling. We make a fee. And in our case, our firm, there's lots of different ways this happens. Some firms, they just charge a retainer fee. It's a flat amount. Doesn't matter how whether they're good, bad, or otherwise, they just charge a flat amount.
Yep.
Some they just charge by the hour. Again, it's not results-oriented. It's just like, here's how many hours I took to create a plan and give you the advice. Right? And then you have firms like ours. We charge for the assets that we are managing for our clients as a percentage. Now, the attractiveness to me is we're in the same boat. If we are successful and our clients grow their investments, then our percentage is the same on a bigger number. We participated in the client's success. If the accounts shrink, while we do not get paid zero, we get paid less, and so we feel it when the clients are unsuccessful, okay? Why don't we only get paid when the markets go up? It's actually really simple. It's because you do not want to disincentivize your advisor to only take risks, right? If there's no downside. Like if it's like, I only make money if you make money. If you don't make money, we don't get paid at all. And people would say, well, what does that mean? It says, well, if nobody's making money, we may as well take risks to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because where's the downside for me as the advisor? I'm going to get nothing. But if I swing for the fences and hit a home run, I'll get something. So it disincentivizes or it misaligns risk management.
Yeah.
That's another one on our list here, by the way, is how is risk being managed?
Right, because if you're just paid strictly on performance, then you might over-concentrate, right? It's getting into the risk management. You don't want to necessarily have all of your eggs in one basket.
Right. And keep in mind, there's a difference between managing for maximum investment value over a lifetime versus managing for
the moment. Yeah.
And also the ability to sustain withdrawals, the ability to stay retired, the ability to manage taxes. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of other moving parts to this that are sometimes overlooked in the name of, well, let's just get it for as cheap as possible.
Right.
Right. And so I think that you should be able to talk to your investment pro and ask them, what are the values that, what's your value proposition? What is the fee that I'm paying you get me?
Mm.
Right? What should I be willing to expect and what comes with that package, right? And so there you go. And in a relationship where they can't answer that, that's a little red flaggy.
Yep.
Right? In a relationship where they don't want to answer it, they don't want to explain where the fees come from, that's red flaggy. Right? Like they should be willing to tell you those things.
Mm.
So, what else is on our list?
Well, talking about risk management, what about the advisor that, you know, has someone in an investment that they air quote is safe, right? But then when the markets kind of hit the fan, there's tons of high volatility in those safer positions, right? And so they didn't really fully disclose the true risk of the portfolio. I think that's actually kind of common where it's like, oh, yeah, no, this portfolio will be fine. And, you know, you shouldn't, you know, experience too much volatility here. And then it implodes.
It's tough because without the, you know, with everybody's smarter with the benefit of hindsight, right? I could tell you who was going to win last year's World Series. Easy peasy, right?
Yeah.
This year's World Series is a little bit harder. But to suggest that you automatically know who's going to win or who's going to lose or whatever. Like that's you're getting into territory where you can't predict the future. But I think more to the point is, can you explain the features of what safety means and help set expectations for what typically happens? And if something falls out of the typical norm, is that because everything's out of whack? Or is that because they did something that was an error, right? Mm-hmm. Here's an example. In 2008...
Oh, I thought you were going to go to 2020. Yeah.
Well, in 2022, right, even the beginning of this year, right, in the first quarter of this year, most things went down.
Right.
Okay? And then they recovered. So when everything's going down, if your investments are going down with them, that may not be broken, right? Unless you literally have an investment that's non-traded or it's something that's so low volatility that, you know, it would be within touch. You have to get into bank products when you want guarantees. Like, I never want to see principal fluctuation. Okay, go to bank products.
Yeah.
Right? Even treasuries, which are government secured, fluctuate in value day to day. But if you buy a CD, behind the scenes, all the fluctuation, it's absorbed by the bank. You don't have to see it.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, understanding what risk means, understanding your ability to tolerate volatility, those are very relevant.
Well, and then that same advisor probably isn't talking you through the what ifs of like, hey, like, what if the market drops 20%? You know, here's kind of our plan. They try and ignore that and they just focus on the good times.
Yeah. And let me be clear, like, these are actually more fringy. If your advisor is like really ambivalent to risk, that's probably an issue. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know people that are. This is very, very training wheels stuff when it comes to financial advice. Like, the basic risk parameters of mixing stocks and bonds and being basically diversified are so universal right now that it's hard to fathom that somebody wouldn't be doing this. So if they're not, it's definitely a red flag if they don't.
I've seen it a couple times where it's like people have stated, you know, or at least they claim, I talked to my advisor and I'm, you know, older and I really wanted to kind of de-risk the portfolio, but they wouldn't listen. And look, here's my portfolio. It's all growth stocks. And you're like, yeah, they really didn't listen. It is actually invested this way. It's 100% in growth stocks. Or it's, you know, I've seen it the other way where it's just one mutual fund. Is the entire portfolio, you have $750,000 in one mutual fund that is a blue chip fund. And then you wanted more diversification into other asset classes or other areas of the market.
Here's careful, right? The reason I'm saying this is I don't want everybody listening to hear this and be like, well, I have one mutual fund. Am I in trouble?
Not necessarily.
It's very dependent upon your circumstance and your ability to absorb risk.
True. And which mutual fund?
Like, if you have a blue chip mutual fund, that is pretty diversified typically. It probably has a couple hundred holdings in it. That's diversified. Right. Even though it's a single ticker symbol, it's diversified.
Right.
More than likely. Right.
Well, in this instance, they were like 75 years old.
But if they're pensioned and Social Security, and they're not even spending all the money, and they have savings somewhere else too.
That's true.
Well, it's not necessarily an automatic disqualification.
That's true.
It's just enough that one goes, well, can you explain why we're doing it? And if the answer is absolutely, because here's your circumstance. That's different than if you're like, whoa, you can't afford this risk. You need this money and you're withdrawing on it right now.
Yep.
So I think the circumstances are really relevant there. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, if your advisor doesn't understand it, I would say there's a knowledge gap.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Well, I think
it is possible that they don't understand it. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. I think the bigger issue for me was, like, you've stated that it is an issue, but it doesn't change. They're just like, you know what I mean? It's still here.
Well, that goes back to the communication or ignoring your goals, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, my goal was to de-risk this thing, and you didn't de-risk it.
Yeah.
What happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right? And if the answer is, oh, man, I can't believe that, but I can fix it now, and you know, that might be okay. You might be willing to tolerate that. But if it's the, we've been talking about this for a long time, it wasn't like a clerical error or a misunderstanding. It's like a, you're actively ignoring me. Okay, red flag.
I think one of the biggest ones, like the biggest ones, is life changes and the failure to adapt.
Yeah, that is a biggie. Like, the circumstances are not the same.
Because
you really should be adjusting.
How many times have you had a client and they're like, everything's way different. I got a divorce. Or, hey, everything's different. I had a spouse pass away. Or, hey, everything's different. I changed jobs. Or, my kids are out of the house and they're off at college, right? Now I got college expenses. Or, all the kids are completely gone. It's just the two of us, right? There's so many ways that life can can just change in an instant.
You know, and, hey, we just had a, a mother or a father or an in-law have to move in with us and we're taking care of them now. These are major lifestyle alterations.
Yeah. And when that happens, you know, maybe that's when the risk portion starts to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's part of an appropriate advisory relationship. Those need to be sort of, as I say, baked into the cake.
Yeah.
Right. And if it's just, no, we just kind of keep doing what we're always doing. So were you getting financial advice or are you just pegging a goal that you never revisit?
Hey, you know what else happens to change? Tax law.
Yeah.
I mean, like, tax law changes.
The big, beautiful tax law changes.
Yeah. Everything's changing.
We can't leave it alone.
No,
my gosh.
We can't.
Hey, I'm looking at it. Let's grab our last break. We got
you want to?
Minutes up. Yeah, I
don't
want to.
You don't
want to
just power through?
I do it, but they get on me. So let's do this. We'll grab the last break. We got a few more red flags to talk about. I cannot believe how fast the show's going. We're having fun. Stick around. I'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
You got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. On this, the final segment of the home stretch, where I, your host, Dave Littlejohn, and my co-host,
Matt Dixon,
are having a great time talking about all the different red flags that you need to watch out for if you're working with an advisor. These are things that are red flaggy enough that maybe you need to consider whether or not you want to keep doing this. But it occurred to me, Matt, in the final minutes, there's something really important that we should do today.
What's that?
Well, so first, how do people reach our office if they wanted to connect?
There are so many ways. Do you have a pen and paper handy? Because I'm about to give you a number.
I'm ready.
Okay. 541-375-0898. You can call it, you can text it, or you can just go to the website at littlejohnfs.com. You can chat there, drop us an email, whatever you want to do. We'll get back to you. How about that?
The reason this is important, some of you are on the fence, and I have got an invitation for you. You've thought to yourself, self, I wonder if I should call them. And here's the deal. We're going to wish a happy birthday to one of our favorite colleagues. He's on every now and then, but the radio is not his favorite thing to do.
Right.
Right.
Are you talking about the other advisor in the office?
The other advisor on the team, my main man, Justin.
Okay.
Justin, wishing you a happy birthday, publicly doing the best we can to embarrass you. But look, we're at the end of the day. For the last 5 minutes of the day while we're answering the phones, if you call in right now, you can request a special meeting just with Justin. Right? Yeah. You're like, I've just been thinking about you guys. I'd like to end, and this is the Justin moment. So happy birthday, Justin. And I'm encouraging anybody that's listening right now to light up the phones at our office. And if you want to meet with Justin, so it's again 541-375-0898.
He can help you with so many things. And whatever is on your mind.
If you're viewing this on YouTube and it's not live, please don't do this now. But right now, if you're on the radio and you're listening, this is your moment, right? It'll be delightful. Okay, that being said, Matt, in the final couple of minutes of the show, what's probably, I can think of two red flags left that I would really highlight. First one, I'll just tell you, is does the financial professional you work with, do they disclose if they have a conflict of interest?
Okay.
Okay. This one, I think, is just, it's a simple one, but sometimes there's an interest, right? Maybe you're the advisor is also invested in something, or maybe if they, you buy something from them, they get compensated. Do they tell you this, right? Do they give you the opportunity to check their motivations against their advice by disclosing if there might be a conflict?
Yep. Okay? That's a good one.
Conflicts, sometimes they don't go away, but if you acknowledge them and put them on the table, you can work with them. It doesn't mean it's not a doable thing. It doesn't mean they're not in your best interest. It just changes the dynamic because it's now fully disclosed, fully transparent. I think that's a big deal. Is do they disclose when there's a conflict?
Yep.
Okay, or if they're self-interested in something. But probably the number one on the list. What do you think it is, Matt?
You just don't trust the guy or the gal. You don't trust your advisor, right? And if you don't have that, there's signs, right? Like, you feel like you can't ask them a silly or dumb question, right?
Yeah.
Because you feel like they're going to judge you. Or maybe you're always like, oh, that person really kind of seemed arrogant or something, right? Like, that might be part of it. But they're saying one thing, they're doing another. There's just, you don't have a sense of trust. And if you don't have that, it's just, why do it? Why be in that relationship? Because, like, think about it this way, right? Like, people that are married, they trust each other, right? Like,
better.
And it's a pretty big relationship when you're married. Mm-hmm. When you got a financial advisor, they're in charge of your money. That's a pretty big deal. And if you can't trust them, just move on to the next person.
Yeah. Notice we've said this consistently over the years that if we're trying to help people, if you're going to do it yourself, great. If you're not going to do it yourself, then find somebody that you like and trust. Why? If you like somebody, it's easier to work with them. But the most important, I care more that you trust them than you like them.
Yep.
You may not like somebody, but you trust them.
Sure.
Right? You know, they're abrasive, they're a little this or a little that, but you trust them to do the right thing. I can work with that.
Yep.
Okay? But if you can't trust somebody, then don't engage. Like, that is just the number one red flag. Don't do it. There's too many other good practitioners out there. And the good news is there's a lot more good practitioners than bad. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to do the right thing. Oftentimes, there's not a right or a wrong answer. That can fuss with people's head a little bit. Sometimes you're doing the best you can because it's an if this or that. It's just not a black and white answer in financial planning. You do the best you can sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, for those of you that have called to encourage Justin, awesome. For the rest of you guys that have made it this far on the show, thanks.
Are they allowed to just text the office, like, yes, happy birthday, Justin?
Feel free to text happy birthday, Justin, to the office.
Okay.
One more time, Matt, how do they reach us?
Yeah, get that phone number going. It's 541-375-0898.
All right. And for the rest of you guys, if you want information, visit us at littlejohnfs.com. And you can also email to info@littlejohnfs.com. But we are out of time. So with that, I guess it's time to sign off. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And I'm Matt Dixon.
And you've been listening to True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM at 1240 KQEN.